Fanboy Smackdown, episode number 43, for Friday, August the 3rd. Fanboy Smackdown! Hello, this is Tony. Wait a minute, I'm recording the wrong one. Hey, this is Tony. And welcome to episode number 43, Fanboy Smackdown podcast. The other Tony is still in his busyness as... And, you know, I think I've now met his level of busyness, but I'm still recording, still podcasting, still getting the episodes out to you guys. And we will be once again discussing On the Lot and going through the films as they appeared on the television show. Actually, I actually watched them on television this time. I did not watch all the other stuff, as it were. For anybody who might be new, what's going on is normally we talk about movies. But we have the co-host to the show, the other Tony, has been really, really busy. So what I'm doing is I'm watching the television program On the Lot. Everything that we discuss from here on out will be spoilers to that show. So this is the episode that I guess would have aired Tuesday, July 31st. And in that episode, they kicked one person out, and they showed us five more films. But before we get into that, I just want to let you guys know for a few minutes this weekend, I'm going to be at Archon in St. Louis, hanging out with a few of my other friends in podcasting. T. Morris from The Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy, The Bill Above Battings in the Case of the Singing Sword, and Moravi. Both of those are patio book podcasts. And also the Fear the Boot guys and Ryu Cope, the Bad Buddhist from Bad Buddhist Radio. So those guys should all be at Archon. Whoa. Those guys should all be at Archon this weekend. And I'll be there for at least a couple of minutes also. Got a family reunion to attend to, so I'm not going to be there the whole time. The blah, blah. Let's see. The episode this week for On the Lot, they did something a little bit different. It was, I think it was kind of cool. It was a little risky. I don't know if it was so much risky for the actor as it was for maybe for the filmmakers. And what they did was they came out at the beginning like they normally do, and they announced who would be leaving from last week's episode. And they said who the person who gets the most votes this week is gaining the services of Jerry O'Connell. And he will actually be starring in the film that you make this week. So this is actually, this was a sequence that took place the day after the last episode. So the way it works out, we're seeing this conversation take place live. So the first thing they do is they announce who is getting kicked off, and that person is Andrew Hunt. His short film was the one... I said that one was probably going to be the one to go, and you know, yay on me, I got that one right. I've been kind of picking them sporadic lately, so if my 50-50 bet goes as it normally does, I guess this week's guess will be wrong, so we'll have to see. Maybe my powers of perception are improving, or we're getting more people in the U.S. to listen to this and take my opinion, and that's not happening. I already said Andrew Hunt is the one who left, and the one who got the highest number of votes was Jason Epperson. And his was the one with the dance off, which while it wasn't my favorite, I can see why that won. I did not have a problem with that one winning. So he had the most votes. He got the most votes from the viewers. And this week he got the opportunity to direct Jerry O'Connell for his short film. So moving into the films that we saw, the first one, and I'm doing these as my usual order is alphabetical by first name, because that's how they're lined up on the website, and it's easiest for me to get all the information that way. Adam Stein's Driving Under the Influence. From here on out, we're gonna spoil the actual films. So if you have not had the opportunity yet and would like to see the films before hearing me discuss them, go to thelot.com and check out the films. If you need the direct links, you can visit this website, fanboysmackdown.com, and the show notes have direct links to these films, so you don't have to go searching all over the Lot's website to find them. Our show notes link directly to the individual films. And the cool thing is they're only like 2 minutes long. So it's not a big expenditure of your time. Probably the length of this episode and watching those short films is probably going to be less time than a normal full length episode of Fanboy Smackdown was when we had the other Tony here. So, and I've noticed these episodes have been getting a little shorter. So, you know, I don't know if that's good or bad, or maybe I'm just getting a little better at speaking on my own and not umming and ahhing all the way through. And I have been taking some notes about the films as I get ready to speak about them. So, man, maybe that's helping too. So, anyway, we're going to start spoiling the film. So let's get on with that. The first film is Adam Stein's Driving Under the Influence. I think I better take a step back, 'cause I don't think I mentioned what the theme was this week. Last week they had the theme of comedy with a touch of romance. This week's theme is road movies. And specifically, they wanted a film that used a car in it, in some way, shape, or form. Now, the first one, like I said before, Driving Under the Influence. The gist of this film is that there's a guy who meets this guy in a back alley, and he's trying to the first guy in the alley has a car that he's trying to sell. The protagonist of the story. So the protagonist questions why the guy is selling such a new car with so few miles on it. The car has less than 100 miles on it. And the guy says he just has to sell it. And whatever you do, don't turn on the radio. It's broken. So the guy is, you know, driving down the road for a minute. He ends up taking the car. He's driving down the road for a few minutes, and either habitually or because the guy told him not to, he turns the radio on and immediately is compelled to start dancing along. Switches the station to, you know, he's jumping between hip hop and other dance music and the Macarena. And he feels compelled to while he's driving, dance to all these different musics. Well, he eventually gets pulled over by the police, and the police officer is not amused. And while she is getting ready to write up a ticket for him, he turns the radio on and gets her dancing and drives away. Well, he's dancing and the police officer's dancing, and he's dancing and driving, and dancing and driving don't mix. And he ends up getting into an accident. It gets a little out of control from there. The person he runs into jumps out and wants to beat him up. He goes for the radio and can't get it tuned in. So there's just a minute or two of suspense as everyone closes in on this guy, the police officer, the driver of the truck that he hits, and he finally gets the music going again. And the whole block where all these cars had been delayed because of this accident, everybody's getting out of cars. The people walking along the street are getting up, and they're going into spontaneous choreographed dance moves. It was cute. It was funny. And in the end, the protagonist takes the female police officer, dips her, and kisses her. The film as a whole was cute. It was funny. It definitely used the car as a centerpiece to the film. All in all, I thought it was okay. It didn't really, once you got the joke, it got really predictable, and it didn't really do anything to do anything fresh with the joke. It told the same joke three or four times, not doing anything special each time or making it any different in any way to make it any more interesting past the initial joke. So it, you know, I think this one will probably fall toward the middle of the pack. The second film that I want to talk about is Jason Epperson's The Move. Now, this one is the one that featured Jerry O'Connell in a starring role. And this one, you get the impression, and see, that's part of this one, is that it's one of those movies that in the end throws you a curveball. And so for me to tell you what was going on, I can tell you what the impression was of what you saw. Basically, Jerry O'Connell, it appears that he's moving out of a house. He's talking with his buddy, asking him, should he be doing it? You know, it's so far. The other friend said, you know, it's only a phone call away. He said, you know, Jerry O'Connell's character says, you know, this could be the biggest decision of my life. And they, you know, the dialogue is a little bit okay. I mean, it's nothing spectacular. Eventually they're driving along these wooded lanes. They pull over, they say, this is a good, you know, this is it. They are pulling furniture out of the car. You don't really see anything more than they're just unloading furniture. You're not sure where they're unloading it to. And the guys get back in the car and drive off. And then it kind of does a slow reveal of this scene that looks like someone has completely transplanted someone's bedroom or living room or something in the middle of the woods. And there's a guy whose face is all decorated up and he's sitting there. So the gist of it is that they were pranking some guy, perhaps after he had a few too many beverages similar to the ones that I would like to be drinking right now. They basically pranked the guy. This is where earlier on in the podcast, I said that having an actor was risky, and to have the actor play this kind of role, to play any role in a film like this is risky. It's, there are some gambles that work and some that don't. There were some gambles within this episode that worked and didn't. I think this gamble did not work well for Jason. I don't think it was a flaw in, Jerry O'Connell at all. I think it was just, the script was trite. The story bordered on nonsensical, considering the character was saying that this was the, you know, one of the biggest decisions of his life and, you know, how important it was. The hints and the clues they gave for the twist at the end did not match. And if anything's going to kill a twist story like that, it's going to be misleading for the sake of misleading and not just misdirection in the story. You know, spoiler alert for the movie The Sixth Sense, the way M. Night Shyamalan did it for that movie, if you go back and watch the movie and carefully scrutinize it, one scene in particular that I'll point out, there's a scene about halfway through the movie where Bruce Willis's character is to meet his wife for their anniversary. He slips into the chair. She's sitting there. She pays the bill. She kind of very upset, looking almost through him, says, you know, happy anniversary. And she leaves. This is obviously the restaurant, their restaurant for having anniversary dinners. In the end, we find out that, you know, Bruce Willis is a ghost. If you rewatch the scene still holds up with that information. The chair does not move. He slips into the chair kind of at a sideways angle. The chair never moves. Her reaction is not to him. It's just to the situation of, she's having an anniversary dinner, without her husband. You know, he's gone. If I'm remembering the timeline correctly, this was the first anniversary that they would have had. This is the first anniversary that she had after he had passed away. So the scene still holds up. With this short film, it just doesn't. There are flaws in it that they're really only in the dialogue that, you know, it makes it more important than it needs to be at the end, and the dialogue doesn't ring true for making it seem like it has a lot more gravity. The decision and what they're doing has this, it seems to be a very important decision. And they're just jacking around with some guy. Plus, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that my buddies and I did when we were like 11 at scout camp. So for me, it was just, you know, it was a little nostalgic in that, but then I thought, why are these guys at this age doing it? So that was the first two films. I'm going to take a quick break and I will be right back.
Calling Pizza World. How can I help you?
Yeah, give me a large meatgasm pizza, but instead of sauce, could you just cover it in ranch dressing and throw some extra hot wings on top of that?
I'm sorry, sir. The health department said we can't sell the meatgasm pizzas anymore.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. You must be breaking up.
Sir, I said that...
What's that? No, I can't hear you. What's that? You're breaking up! You're breaking up!
Tony Mast, podcaster. A man barely able to avoid fast food.
Gentlemen, we can reshape him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's newest healthy podcaster. Tony Mast will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster.
To follow Tony's progress, listen to his podcast at www.tonyslosingit.com.
Hey, I'm back and ready to move on and see what the other films are, see what's, let you guys know what I thought about them, and maybe come to a conclusion of who I think might get bounced this week. Let's see, the next film I am going to talk about is called Backseat Driving Test, and that's by Sam Friedlander. The premise of this is that there's a young man who he has a mother who he has taken to a driving test, and the young man is driving. He's got an instructor in the seat next to him and his mother in the back seat. And she does all of the stereotypical mom things. And it's stereotypical, not necessarily of moms, but of backseat drivers in general. And she hits every one of those stereotypes really well. The idea of this is that the gentleman in the seat next to him is not an instructor for the driver, but it is an instructor for the backseat passenger, and how he is going to do things like jumps and all kinds of different auto acrobatics to scare the backseat driver, or to make them realize that Maybe the driver that they were with was actually pretty good in the first place. So she goes through this and looks quite a bit more frazzled for the experience. The son drives her home, and something happens, and he manages to go up a short ramp and kind of do a jump. Mom thought it was just great, so she wants to do it again, and that's kind of how the film wraps. Overall, this one was another one that was just kind of okay. The story was clear, but I really didn't get much of a message from it. There really wasn't anything really speaking to me about this. It was another one of those, you know, pseudo comedic pieces that just wasn't funny enough. And it just felt a little stale. I'm not really sure why. Maybe I'm a little bit jaded, but it was just really okay. that's really all I can say about that one. I think this one's another one that firmly establishes its pace in the middle of the pack. Let's see, the fourth film that I am discussing is Will Bingham's Road Rage 101. I'm sorry, Road Rage 101. This one is, there's a gentleman in his car, and he starts getting upset because he's in a traffic jam and kind of taking it out on the car. And suddenly bizarre things start happening. His car, without warning, runs into the car in front of it. He tries to stop it, reverse, do anything, and nothing's happening. The car has control. The car is taunting other drivers and getting them to kind of come after the guy. Eventually, the guy realized that all he needs to do is treat the car nicely, and things start happening for him. Everything starts working right in the car. All the rest of the cars get out of his way, so he's clear of the traffic jam. It was a cute little... a cute little story. It was another one that was okay. I think this one leans just a little bit better than the ones that were just okay. So I think this one will be all right. The idea of the immediate karmic balancing of, you know, getting mad and hitting the dashboard of your car to the car getting mad and forcing you to almost to the point of fisticuffs. That was funny. It got a little bit silly when, you know, he apologized and to the car, and the car somehow miraculously made all the rest of the cars in the line move out of the way. That was a little silly. But all in all, I think this one was on the medium to high side of these submissions this week. The last film I'm going to talk about for this episode is Bonus Feature 2. Now, you may remember Zach Lipofsky. He's the guy that's done all the really cool special effects features for this contest. He did, and I said before there was daring that worked and daring that didn't. That one of the two daring things I believed was the inclusion of a professional, fairly well-known actor and making them making these young directors direct that person in a scene. I thought that was one risky move. The other risky move I thought was Zach taking a film that I went back and looked at some of the what was said, and apparently the judges were down on his part one of this story. So it was very risky taking something that the judges have already cast in a negative light and trying to reinvent yourself with that kind of stigma sitting over you. I think it really worked in this case. He took what came before. He melded it seamlessly with what he had before. This was literally picking up exactly where he left off in the first one. Same characters, the same scene, the same situation that they were heading into and then moving out from. It's nice in the two-minute format because we don't have to get reintroduced to the characters, the scene, what's going on, the supercar, without, you know, we don't have to waste the time that could be used for storytelling on, you know, characterization and keeping us up to date where things are. I mean, the part one was just released a week ago, so part two, the assumption is that you'll pick that right up too. All in all, I thought this one was definitely stronger than last week's submission from Zach, and I think Zach is going to be all right this week. Now, this story again was just a continuation of the one he did last week. That one's better to be experienced. I just don't want to give away some of the film references that are inside these films. There are some really nice touches with that. Now on to the big question. What did I think of these films? This one was a little bit tougher. I think I'm probably going to have to go with bonus feature number two as my favorite this week. The rest of them, I just wasn't as confident in that their ability to carry the story through. I was especially disappointed in The Move. Jason does things differently, and so far he's done things fairly well. This time the A game is not being brought with that one. Let's just put it that way. So for my money, you know, my vote for elimination this week, who I believe is not going to be on the episode next week, is going to be Jason Epperson. So there you have it. We'll have to see if that is how things pan out in the next couple of weeks. One last thing I want to mention before I get going for the night. I mentioned an episode or two ago that the guys from Fear the Boot are up for an Ennie. That is a podcasting award. Actually, it's an award given through Gen Con, and they've, just this year, have added a podcasting track. And a podcasting category to their contest. Excuse me, it's getting a little bit late for me. I'm a little bit punchy. I don't know the entire situation. They've made mention to it on their forums and such. But apparently there was either something said or something. I'm not really sure of the situation, so I really don't want to speak too much more to it. Apparently something happened that has caused a disqualification had the Fear of the Boot guys not just withdrawn their nomination. So they're not going to be getting nominated. As far as that goes, in the NE competition, I really don't have very much experience with a lot of those other gaming podcasts. I'm not a big gamer. I listen to Fear the Boot because they're a good bunch of guys to listen to. So they are not going to be eligible for the Ennies. My understanding, though, is that the Dragonlance website, DL Nexus, is still in the running. So if you're looking for something to vote for, go ahead and vote for those guys. They're a good group of guys, and they also have a podcast. So let's support those other podcasters. All right, well, I'm going to sign off as this episode is going to be released on Friday, but it's Wednesday night. It's late. I've had to do a little bit of work, and I want to get at least some sleep because tomorrow night I'm supposed to be hanging out with Mr. T. Morris for a little while and probably some of the rest of the guys who are going to be at Archon working this weekend. And I'll get to drop in on them for just a little while tomorrow night. So that should be a lot of fun. I'm going to go ahead and call this one done. If you would like to comment on my comments about these films, you can do so at the website, fanboysmackdown.com. You can send me an email, fanboysmackdown@gmail.com. We can get into a chat conversation on Skype. Just look for Fanboy Smackdown. So thank you all for listening. And yeah, we've got the other Tony making appearances. So hopefully we'll have him on a good solid schedule here real soon. That's all for tonight. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.